Most gracious and loving Father, as we come to Thee, we realize how finite we really are. We realize how weak and helpless we are. Father, there are great forces at work in this world. Oh yes, there are political forces, there are social forces, but there are also powers of evil at work. We know from Thy Word that this world is ruled over by Satan, and that he has many helpers, fallen angels, evil spirits that also are active in their rule over the hearts of men. And when we read the Bible, we see that indeed he does exercise that power in various ways. And particularly as we approach the end, and we will see men and women being snared into other gospels that are not the true gospel, then we will marvel at the power of Satan. But Father, we thank Thee that Thou art God, that Satan can do nothing without Thy expressed will, that the fact is that whatever we see in Satan, that in his activity, that it is because it is Thy program that this is the way it is to be, and that it's not happening because Satan has somehow broken loose or somehow begun to win of himself. And therefore, because we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we are Jew or Gentile, whether we are rich or poor, whether we are black or white or brown-skinned, whether we are male or female, whether we are an adult or a child, we who are a true child of God need not fear Satan at all. We need not fear that he can snare us away from the truth. We need not fear him that he could cause us to fall spiritually by coming with the intimidation of persecution or of other kinds of bloodletting. Oh, Father, we praise Thee that we are more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we can know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, therefore, as we read these passages that concern themselves with the abomination of desolation, the loosing of Satan during the final tribulation period, when he will have so much freedom and when he will rule the hearts of unsaved men with such an iron fist, we pray that we who are true believers may not despair, we may not be bewildered, we may not be frightened, we may realize that this is simply God's plan, but Thou art still on the throne and Thou dost rule and overrule all of these things, and that Satan too will come to his predetermined end. Father, we thank Thee for this consolation and this assurance that we can have from Thy Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at Daniel for just a little bit. We have been instructed to come to the book of Daniel because in our study of Mark chapter 13, God declared, as he spoke of the abomination of desolation, that this was first spoken of by Daniel. And we have looked at Daniel 8 just a little bit. We've looked at a few verses in Daniel 11 and saw that indeed there the abomination of desolation which would take away the daily referred to the activity of Satan as the king of the north. And he would come and assault the church, even as Babylon was the northern kingdom in the days of Israel and came against Judah. And against Israel and destroyed them as a judgment from God. Well, so it will be at the end of time that the king of the north, Satan, will come and assault the church with the abomination of desolation. And we've begun to see that the abomination of desolation has to do with the worship of idols. In other words, it has to do with the following of other than the true gospel. And this will be the chief characteristic of the final tribulation period. And you'll recall when we were looking at Mark 13 that Jesus opened up answered the question, what will be the sign of thy coming, with the words, beware of false prophets, those who come with other gospels, in other words. Well, then we looked at Daniel 9 just a little bit, verse 27, looking at the 70th seven. We saw that is the period from the baptism of Jesus, when he officially began his program as Redeemer. Officially, he is confirming the covenant of grace that he has come to effectuate for all who would believe on him. And in the middle of the covenant, sacrifice and offering ceased, and that is the cross. Well, then the last half of the week, the first half of the week, was from the baptism of Jesus until the cross, a literal period of 3.5 years. But then we read in the last half of verse 27 of Daniel 9, and for the overspreading of abominations, remember, we're talking in Mark 13 about the abomination of desolation, and for the overspreading, or with the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate, or upon the desolator. You see, God is indicating that, first of all, that the last half of the 70th week goes right till the end, to the consummation. The consummation of all things is when Christ comes on the clouds of glory, and the end of the world has come, and that is determined, that it will come. But what will attend that? The overspreading of abominations that will make desolate. It's speaking here, therefore, of just the end of the 70th seven, although the whole period is in view, but the end of the 70th seven is going to be a time of the abomination of desolation. Satan will be loosed, and be allowed to harass the church and to draw away many and effectively destroy the gospel so that only the true believers will stand and no one else will become saved. Well, now, I indicated in our last study we'd also look at a few verses in Daniel 7. Remember in Daniel 8, as we talked about the abomination or the transgression of desolation there, it spoke there of the little horn, and the little horn we saw was Satan. Well, the little horn is, first of all, in view in Daniel 7. And so let's just look at a few verses in Daniel 7 to get that just a little bit in hand also. In Daniel 7, Daniel had a vision. Daniel had a vision, and he saw four beasts. The first, in verse 4, the first was a lion and had eagle's wings, and the second was like a bear, and it raised it up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And the third was like a leopard. And then there was the fourth, in verse 7, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse, that is, it was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, what is this vision? Well, I'm not going to go into it in great detail at this time, but let me just say that the first 3 beasts, I believe, represent the rule of Satan during the New Testament period primarily. The ruling like a lion is because it is a deceitful rule. He comes, Jesus, of course, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, But Satan comes like a lion. He comes as an antichrist whenever he comes through false prophets all through time. Let me explain something for just a moment. While it is true that the Bible speaks of an antichrist coming, while the Bible speaks of Satan assaulting the church and coming with other gospels right at the end of time, and we're going to see a lot more of this as we go on in Mark 13. Nevertheless, that phenomenon has been to some degree existing in the world all through time, and particularly through the New Testament period. While Satan is bound so that he cannot keep God from building his church, he cannot keep he cannot frustrate God's plan to save everyone that he plans to save. Nevertheless, to some degree he can deceive. To some degree he can persecute, and this has been going on throughout the New Testament period, and so he also comes with his other gospels that are not the true gospel. It is at the end of time, during the final tribulation period, that we will see these other gospels in full flower, and we will see that the true gospel is virtually completely silenced. It will gain no hearing. That is what we're going to see in as we look at this fourth beast. But the three beasts, as it talks about him coming as a lion and had eagle's wings, and again, eagle's wings really refers to the care of God for his church is seen in Deuteronomy. I think it's Deuteronomy. Oh, let me just turn to a verse there a moment. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, where God is talking about ancient Israel, but they're a picture of the whole body, corporate body of believers. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, that is, lead ancient Israel. God pictures himself as an eagle. Well, Satan also comes as an eagle. He comes as a pseudo-Christ. He comes as a very deceptively with his other gospels, so that people think they are serving Christ when actually they are serving Satan. And to some degree, this has been going on all through the New Testament period. And then in verse 5, it talks about him coming as a bear, raising himself up on one side with three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And I think the three ribs tie us back into Eve. Remember, Eve was the bride of Adam, and she came out of the rib of Adam, and therefore the rib refers to mankind. We read in Genesis 2 that she was the mother of all living. And the three ribs indicates that it is God's purpose that Satan would rule over mankind, over the human race, because he, by right of conquest, was able to assault Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden, and was given the right to have dominion over mankind. And of course, he devours much flesh. He is very ruthless in his rule. He always seeks to kill and destroy, and it's only God's restraining power that keeps Satan from having completely destroying the human race. And then it talks about this rule as a leopard, and if we compare look at the word leopard as it's found in a passage like Jeremiah 5, verse 6, we'll find that it's speaking of Satan as he watches ready to tear and to destroy. And there are other passages that give this same picture. Again, it indicates the obvious, or the anticipation of Satan to tear and destroy wherever he can. He wants everyone in his grasp, and he constantly assaults the church in an effort to destroy those who are not true believers in it. That is, to draw them into his gospel so that they will be altogether even more in rebellion than they were before. Well, so much for the three beasts. I really believe they refer to the rule of Satan as he rules in various ways in the church, through political rule and so on, throughout the New Testament period. But then in verse 7, it talks about this fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth indicating its strength, the teeth referring to the fact that it's altogether destructive. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it and was different from the beasts that were before it, indicating that there will come a time when Satan's rule over man will be far more dominant, far more aggressive than it has been throughout the New Testament period. And notice it says it had 10 horns. And the 10 horns tie us back to Revelation 17, where Revelation 17 is talking about the beast that comes out of the sea. It has 7 heads and 10 horns, and the 10 horns there are spoken of as the kings that will rule for 1 hour. It is the rule of Satan right at the end of time as he rules all over the world. Not literally through 10 kings, but it is the completeness of God's plan, the finality of God's plan, as Satan rules right at the end of time. But then in verse 8 it says of Daniel 7, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. This, I believe, is a picture derived from the judgment that came against Judah. If you really want to get an insight as to the character of the final tribulation period, spiritually speaking, you have to look at Judah. Now, of course, when Judah was finally destroyed, it was destroyed by physical destruction. It was a physical army of the Babylonians that came and assaulted Israel or Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed them and destroyed the temple. But that is a picture of the assault of Satan at the end of time as he assaults the church during the final tribulation period, or that which leads to the final tribulation period. Judah is a picture of the corporate body of believers, the churches and congregations as they exist in the world today. Babylon is a picture of the kingdom of Satan as it comes against the corporate body. Even as Babylon came against Judah as a judgment of God because of the apostasy of Judah of that day, the fact that they went after other gods, so God will bring Satan against the church by allowing the kingdom of Satan to assault the church with other gospels, and it will be a judgment against the church, against the corporate body, against the congregations and denominations that exist, because they have become increasingly apostate. This is the figure that God is using here in verse 8, because you notice that it plucks up 3 of the horns, of the 10 horns. Now, when Babylon began to assault the nation of Judah, the last 3 kings who ruled over Judah were taken from the throne by Babylon. That was Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, who was also called Jeconiah or Kaniah, and Zedekiah. You can read about this in the last chapter of 2 Chronicles and the last chapter of 2 Kings. God describes there the fact that Babylon took each of these kings and brought them into captivity or killed them. And God is using that figure as he's speaking of the little horn. The little horn is Satan. Remember, in our earlier study, we said he's called a little horn because Christ is called the horn. In Luke chapter 1, verse 69, we read of Christ where it speaks of him as the horn of salvation. The word horn is a word that signifies strength, the power, the might of salvation. But Satan comes as a pseudo-Christ, as an antichrist, as a false Christ, and he is called a little horn. He does not have the standing of Christ, of course. And so he puts down 3 kings. That is, he is able to rule in the churches and denominations, even as even as Babylon was able to rule over Judah and finally destroy Judah, as you read in the closing chapter of 2 Chronicles and the closing chapter of 2 Kings. Well, then we get down to verse 15, oh, and incidentally, from verse 9 all the way through verse 14 of Daniel 7, God is talking about Judgment Day and indicating that the little horn will come into judgment. In verse 11, I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Judgment will come upon him. Oh, incidentally, before I leave verse 8 of Daniel 7, you know it says here, in this horn were eyes, this little horn were eyes like the eyes of man. And that phrase again assures us that it is speaking of Satan principally as he comes with other gospels. This is a phrase that relates back to Isaiah 29, verse 10. In Isaiah 29, God is speaking about to ancient Israel, and he says, let's see, he says, he's faulting them because they are becoming more and more apostate. The prophets and the priests are beginning to bring other gospels, and so he says in verse 10 of Isaiah 29, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes." Then he explains what he means. "The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered." In other words, God is equating the eyes of Israel with the prophets who should have been coming with the true gospel, and now he has closed their eyes so that they are coming with other gospels than the true gospel, back in Isaiah 29. Well, now, God picks up that figure in Daniel 7, verse 8, as he talks about this little horn having the eyes of a man, indicating that he comes as a prophet. He comes, of course, as a false prophet. And we'll see more of this as we later on go on in Daniel or in Mark chapter 13. Well, now, going on in Daniel 7, we see that the beast was slain. Verse 12, however, the rest of the beasts, the other horns, the little horn, of course, being Satan himself, he was slain. The rest of the beasts, that is, the rest of the dominion of Satan, their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. The God uses the phrase "a season and a time" in speaking of the duration of this world's existence, and the season and the time comes to an end at Judgment Day. God is simply saying that wicked men will rule right till the end of time. The kingdom of Satan will prevail right till the end of time, even as Satan is allowed to rule until this time. Whenever you read about seasons and times, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, God says, "It is not for you to know seasons and times." That is, he is simply saying, it is not for you to worry at this point about the end of time. I've given you a lot of information, and you will not be deceived, it goes on in 1 Thessalonians 5, by Christ coming as a thief in the night, because you are watching, you are ready, and so on. Then we go on in Daniel 7, and in verse 14, and it simply indicates the final victory of the believers. Their kingdom is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and that is the victory of the cross for all the believers. Well, then in verse 15 of Daniel 7, God begins to further develop the meaning of this beast. And Daniel was grieved in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them and stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. And that's language to indicate that it's talking about the rule of men. Men come out of the earth. We are of the dust and return to the dust. This is the way mankind was formed. And it is the universal character of the rule of Satan out of the earth. And then he says in verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever. In that statement, God is simply saying, yes, Satan is going to rule. It's a universal rule. But the saints, the believers, the kingdom of Christ will win. No matter how bad it looks, he will win. But then in verse 19, Daniel begins to ask for more information concerning this fourth beast, the little horn that we've been talking about. The three beasts, the first three beasts, the lion, the leopard, and the bear, referred to the rule of Satan throughout the New Testament period, in whatever fashion he ruled. But what about this fourth beast? And so now, this fourth beast that is so very dreadful, and the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake great things in verse 20, and was different from all of the other beasts. What about this beast? And so God again gives us a lot more information concerning him, and this again relates to the abomination of desolation, because it is the little horn that is in view that brings the abomination of desolation. And so in our next study, we'll begin in Daniel 7 with verse 20 and go through a few more verses to see once what God has to offer here, and then we'll see what comes next. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.